So once again, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and godmothers. And somebody put together a few lessons that mother taught me. And the first one is, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done when she said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just cleaned the house. Or my mother taught me logic when she said, because I said so, that's why. She taught me more logic when she said, if you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. She taught me irony. She said, keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me about the science of osmosis when she said, shut your mouth and eat your supper. And she taught me about being a contortionist when she said, will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me the circle of life. She said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. And my mother taught me about behavior modification when she said, stop acting like your father. Some humorous looks at motherhood, right? So in our gospel today, John chapter 14, Jesus, the Son, speaks about my Father's house and that I am going there and I am going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and take you there with me. Now, isn't that a beautiful place if Jesus himself prepared it, right? Heavenly glory must be beautiful beyond what eye has seen and ear has heard, as the Bible says. So that certainly makes us think about family when you talk about the Father's house, right? You think about father and mother and children, family. And then we heard St. Peter say today in the second reading that Jesus is a living stone and that we too are living stones united to him, making a spiritual house, he says, and a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices to God that are acceptable through Jesus Christ. So we are all a spiritual house, a building, the church, the people of God, the body of Christ. Many different parts, but all united together in our Lord Jesus Christ, right? With the Holy Spirit as the soul of that body, and we could say the Blessed Mother as the heart of that body, because, you know, the mother is the heart of the family. If the father is the head of the family, the mother is the heart, the center of love of the family. And we heard in Acts of the Apostles today, chapter 6, how that body of Christ, the church, was growing and growing by leaps and bounds. And so they had to start taking care of just ordinary problems that were cropping up. That one particular group was being treated with special favors rather than the other group, with the Greek-speaking people versus the Hebrew-speaking widows. And so they ordained these deacons to take care of this kind of a problem, to serve the tables and make sure everybody was taken care of. And so you see the structure of the church starting to develop, deacons and priests and bishops and so forth, the people of God all together, so that there could be peace in the body of Christ. And so speaking of the house and the home certainly makes us think of the role of the mother, because where the mother is, there is the home. And yesterday, we celebrated a very special feast day, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. 1917, May the 13th, Our Lady appeared to three young children, aged something like 10, 8, and 6 years old, and spoke to them and asked them to keep coming on the 13th of the month so that she could give them special information, secrets, ultimately, that they were to share with the rest of the world at the appropriate time. So we had a beautiful Mass there. Some of you were there yesterday morning, 8 o'clock, Sacred Heart, and we did for the first time what they do in Portugal, and I saw the Pope doing it as well on a video. They wave little white handkerchiefs to the statue of Our Lady of Fatima as a sign of farewell to her as they carry her statue throughout the square or the church or wherever they are. But in 1917, the world was in a mess. There was World War I that was raging at the time, And Portugal itself was under a government that was against the church. And so Our Lady appeared and said that people must repent from their sins and that this world war would end, but a greater one would happen if people didn't repent enough. And she asked for the daily prayer of the rosary, right? Because the rosary is a daily meditation on the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's deepening our love for Jesus. She's always bringing us closer to Jesus, her son. That is her role in the world. And it's interesting that that name Fatima, where does it come from? Well, immediately it was named after, like in the 1200s, after a Muslim princess named Fatima. And she converted to our Catholic faith and married a knight, and so they named that town after her. But she was named after the daughter of Mohammed, the prophet of the Islamic faith. And his favorite daughter was named Fatima. And so how appropriate, because you know the Muslims had taken over that area of Spain and Portugal for some 400, 500 years almost, until the Christians were able to take it back. And so, but it still kept that name of Fatima. And so the Muslims do honor our Blessed Mother. There's one chapter in the Quran dedicated to Mary. They call her the Ever-Virgin Mary. They do honor her. And however, they only see Jesus as a prophet. They don't see Jesus as truly God, as we know he is. And so that he and the Father are one. So he could tell Philip, look, when you see me, you have seen the Father. All right? Because we are as one, even though three divine persons, one God. So we pray that our Muslim brothers and sisters will come ultimately to the fullness of the faith, right? And to see Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And so our Blessed Mother had shown the children the reality of hell. That was the first secret. And they were very much scared, but they were given a consolation of knowing that they would ultimately arrive at heavenly glory. So they were able to withstand it. So Mary said, pray that people don't go to hell. Pray that they are converted and change their lives. And so these children did that. Whereas before, the children would pray their rosary, they would just say the first two words of the each prayer when they went around the rosary because they wanted to get to play their games more quickly. So they say, Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Our Father, glory be, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. So they were just like kids, right? But after that, after visiting Our Blessed Mother, they didn't do that anymore. They were really some prayer warriors. The second secret was that of the end of World War I, but also communism would sweep the world, and Russia would cause her problems throughout with communistic atheism. And so we saw that, right? This was 1917. That's when communism started to grow. And she said that until the Pope consecrates Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Russia will cause her errors throughout the world. And so the consecration that finally was accepted by heaven took place in 1984. Not until 1984 was it done properly that heaven accepted it. And what happened? 1989, Poland started getting out of communism. December the 25th, the birthday of Jesus, 1991, the Soviet Union was dissolved practically without firing a shot. Hardly anybody died, which was miraculous. It was those 70 years of praying the rosary for this very special intention. And we know on 1981, May the 13th, the anniversary of Our Lady Fatima, Pope John Paul II was shot in the square of St. Peter. My brother was at the North American College in the seminary there in Rome. So they all rushed down to the square to pray for the Holy Father. He was sent to the hospital and he survived. And he said, one hand held the gun, but another hand guided the bullet. And so somebody even said that the trace of the bullet in his body made the shape of an M. I don't know, that's just a little pious thing. But he survived and the doctor gave him the bullet that went through his body. And so the next year, May the 13th, Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, 1982, John Paul II went to Fatima. He placed the bullet in the crown of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And there it is today, still, because he said she had protected him. And that was the third secret, was the prophecy of the death of so many people in the last century through World War I, World War II, and under communism, and that the church would have to suffer much, and that even the Pope would be harmed. And so John Paul II said that he felt like that was about him, that the bishop dressed in white with halting step, makes us think of his Parkinson's disease that he had, and with that. But the main thing is that she came asking for people to pray and turn to our Lord and to live a holy life and to give up sin so that we can all go to our Father's house in heavenly glory. She's a good mother and she wants to take care of all of us, her children, right? And so she comes to warn us, say, don't do this, but do this, all right? Do the good things like a good mother would do. And of course, yesterday Pope Francis was in Fatima and he canonized the two youngest children, Francisco and Jacinta, who died like a year and 2 years, 3 years after the apparitions. He canonized them as saints. And then the one who lived the longest was Lucia, who died at the age of 97 in 2005. John Paul II died less than 2 months later. So all of these connections between this beautiful history that we have seen now 100 years, and it's still going on today, the need for prayer, the need for repentance of our sins, and helping our brothers and sisters who are certainly out in the world and not living the faith, that they can come to holiness of life. But we know that that starts so much with the mother. The role of the mother is so powerful in our lives. The saying goes that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, right? Because as we raise our children, they go out into the world and they affect so many people. And so we do thank all of you mothers and godmothers, religious sisters as well. You're a spiritual sister, spiritual mother, for your role in helping us to follow Jesus. So I'd like to close with a little poem by a Polish cardinal, Cardinal Majinski, from earlier on. The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul, the tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God, the Creator, than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this, to be a mother? And so we thank you. And at this time, we would ask for all of our mothers and godmothers and religious sisters to please stand for a special blessing for all of you. If you mothers, godmothers, and religious sisters, please stand for a special blessing. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers and godmothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, their godsons and goddaughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we'd like for all of you to come, those of you mothers and godmothers, sisters, in two lines in the middle aisle. I have a little prayer card of Our Lady of Fatima celebrating the 100th anniversary for each of you. And Robert, maybe you can just play something softly in the background.